Turn back to Jonah, please. The prophet Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried, every man unto his God, and cast forth the waves that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. Verse number 12. And he, that's Jonah, said unto them, the mariners, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and let it lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, down to verse number 6 of chapter 3. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Verse 10. Then said the Lord, my exercise just in the little time in the next few minutes is just to look at these four prayers in the book of Jonah that we've read together. We read together first of the prayer of these mariners, these men that were in the ship. Secondly, we read together of the prayer of Jonah in the fish's belly. Jonah prayed. Thirdly, we read of the prayer of the king and of the inhabitants of that city, Nineveh. They cried to the Lord. And lastly, we read of the prayer again of Jonah. And it was a prayer in a state of anger, in his displeasure to what had taken place. I want us to learn some lessons from these prayers. Four basic things in each prayer. There's always going to be something that leads us up to prayer. So we can see that in every case. The reason for prayer. Then we can see the prayer itself. The very request that they had to God. Then we can see the response to that prayer from God's side. How God answered the prayer. And then lastly, we can see the result of that prayer. And the result in the life of the individuals who prayed. So we'll see those four things from these four prayers in the book of Jonah. We find in verse 5 of chapter 1, the mariners, and they're in this ship. They're crying out. At this time, they're not crying out to Jehovah. The Bible makes it clear that in a state of distress, they turn to their gods, false gods, gods which cannot hear them, gods which cannot help them, gods which cannot deliver them from the situation they find themselves in. The first prayer we see is a prayer in the situation, in a circumstance of distress. I wonder if there's someone in this conference today and they're in a circumstance of distress. And you know your life. I wonder what you do when you find yourself in a circumstance of distress. I wonder what I do. I want to share something with you of what has been my experience, sadly, in the past, which is the experience of these heathen men. Sadly, when I have found myself in a situation of distress, instead of going to Jehovah, I've gone to somebody else. I want to take a lesson from these heathen men and see how it identifies in our own lives. Sometimes we're so quick to speak to a friend, to pick up the phone and contact a loved one, maybe. In a situation of distress, when the very first person that I should be speaking to is Jehovah himself. The one who holds the key. The one who is the everlasting God. I'm very thankful. We'll see in a moment or two that due to Jonah and due to the circumstances of that these men found themselves in, they turned to Jehovah. They understood something of what it was to call out to the one who holds the very universe in his hand. The everlasting God. One who is self-existent, self-sufficient. None sustain God. None have ever given God life. He holds life in his hands himself. He's the very author of life. Jehovah. Omnipotent, all power, omniscient, knowing all things. Yet, when Jehovah is to be called upon sometimes in my distress, my first response is to pick up the phone and speak to a friend. I wonder if I can learn a lesson from this. What causes me to pray? God brings circumstances on our lives, brothers and sisters, that we might have communication with him. He draws us closer to himself. That's what he's doing to this man who, in his disobediences, is moving away from him. We would notice in the verse following, verse 5, Jonah, he's down the side of the ship and he's asleep. I wonder if there's someone at this conference. And really, basically, when you boil it down, you're asleep on the sea of life. The journey of life. And your little bark. And you're asleep when it comes to the things of God. Maybe God would just wake you this afternoon. Look how God awoke Jonah. He used heathen men. Amazing. You know, beloved brothers and sisters, the world, we heard this yesterday at the conference, the world will tell the Christian how to behave. A sad thing, isn't it, when God has to use heathen men to instruct the child of God. But these men, they woke Jonah up. Arise, call upon your God. I'm very thankful that Jonah wisely, he was up and he could explain to these men. But God was using this circumstance to bring about a prayer. And it would be a prayer whereby these men who knew not God would turn to him. We see the response of these men. Notice with me their request in verse number 14. We beseech thee, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. I'm very thankful now they're turning to the one who can deliver them from this situation. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's take a lesson out of this. Let us not turn first to those of our kinsfolk and those of our relatives and those of our friends. Let us turn to God. God who can deliver us. You remember that took place in Acts chapter 27. Come with me just to Acts chapter 27. Just for a moment, and you'll see another storm upon the sea. You'll see there's a boat full of men who are heathen men. Acts chapter 27. Notice here it says in verse number 15. When the ship was caught and could bear up the wind, could not bear up the wind into the wind, we let her drive. Verse 17, I want to just pick out some statements here. When they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship. Notice the reference to they. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Luke is writing this. He's acknowledging in this passage, they. Here's a situation, and we see there's a storm has arisen. These men are afraid. Luke says as to what they were doing. But notice in the next statement, it says in verse 18, we being exceedingly tossed. The next day, they lighten the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands. Later it says that we should be saved. The hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You notice here that Luke, he had moved from being they to we. He had seen the situation of distress. He had started to join in with these heathen men. In fact, he says that he even helped casting the tackling out of the ship. But the next verse tells us, but Paul, he stood up. And we notice that then there's the personal pronoun. Paul stood for, you should have hearkened to me. Verse 22, I exhort you. Verse 23, there stood by me, whose God I am, I serve. Verse 25, I believe. Isn't it a sad thing, brothers and sisters, in the middle of this ship, this Christian man Paul had to stand on his own? I think Luke is learning a lesson here. Luke had joined in with these men in their distress, starting to tackle a situation with human hands. But Paul, the mighty apostle, stands up, who is in touch with his God. He wasn't going to tackle this problem with human hands. He would have dealings with his God. Notice how Luke changes again in verse 27. He says in verse 27, the shipmen. And then they, and then again, they have gone a little while. Then a bit later, they cast out four anchors. Then again, the shipman, Luke, he realized that he had done the wrong thing here. It's the confession of Luke. He had joined in with these men trying to sort out a problem with human hands. But Paul had to stand up and say, The only answer to this problem is going to be God. And Luke takes his place then alongside Paul again, and it's they. 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 How often, in a situation of distress, I call upon folk around me. I try to deal with it with human hands, when God is the answer all along. The request of these men. Notice the response in verse number 15 in Jonah. It says, they took Jonah up and cast him forth into the sea. What was the response? The sea ceased from her raging. God looked upon this situation. This morning we were looking at just some comparisons or contrasts really with Jonah and the Lord Jesus. There are so many when you go through this book. This man, Jonah, it was his disobedience, his own disobedience, that caused him to be in this situation. For the Lord Jesus, it was our disobedience that caused him to enter into death. But here we find the response of the prayer. God, he caused the sea to cease from its raging. The sea speaks to us, doesn't it, in Scripture of the nations. And we know that it was through the work of Christ at Calvary that the nations would be subdued. Notice with me the result of this prayer. Verse 16, the men feared exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. Salvation, sacrifice, sincerity was the result of this prayer. The men were saved from their situation. We might learn from this that if they had come to God first, time wouldn't have been wasted. If I could just learn a lesson from that, just to go straight to the Lord. Sometimes I waste so much time. Have to endure circumstances. You would know again that the verse told us that when again Jonah told them that the answer was that he should be cast into the sea, they rowed hard. They tried hard to get to the land. Again, not willing to go to God. How unlike that. But it says here that the result of this prayer was that they turned to the Lord. They were saved from their situation. They made vows to him out of the sincerity of their heart. A good thing, isn't it, when we experience God and experience what it is to have communication with God, and the result is such that it brings us closer to the Lord. We get the good out of a circumstance. We can't say that with the last prayer of the book. And we'll see that in a moment or two. Jonah missed the good of the situation. I'm glad these men, heathen men, they didn't miss the good of this situation. The second prayer of the book, it's a prayer which the reason for the prayer is disobedience. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes in our disobedience we find ourselves in a situation where we're kind of put into a corner. God is a God of restoration. God always desires the restoration of his children. If his children stray away, it's God's mind to bring them back. So often I'm not like that. So often I can be vindictive. You've done this, well good, you get what you deserve. Not so with God. Here's Jonah, and he's wandered away from God. He finds himself in distress. It's because of his disobedience. God puts him into a corner. I'm very thankful we read those words. Then Jonah prayed. The timing of this prayer. He prayed while he had opportunity. I wonder if God is put one of us into a corner just so that he can draw us out. Draw out communion with him. Draw us out in communication. Or will we stubbornly and pigheadedly move on against the very callings of God? When God has us in a situation where we know this very afternoon, seated in the conference, that he's knocking on the very door of the heart, and it's because of my disobedience, but he wants to restore me. And he's just trying to draw me out. He wants to have communication with me. He wants to bless me. And so he uses this circumstance, even though this man had been in disobedience, just to draw out communication with him. Then Jonah prayed. Notice his prayer, the request of his prayer. He prayed in faith, verse 2, that the Lord heard him. Do we pray like that, brothers and sisters? That the Lord hears us. You know, at the prayer meeting, sometimes we can fall into the trap, or in any meeting, of praying or speaking so that the saints hear us. Personally, I have found it a good thing just to try to, when we pray, especially as a brother, and I would speak to the brothers here today, when we take part in the meeting, just to try, when we close our eyes, just to block everybody out in the room. I'm not speaking to any person in this room. I'm speaking to God. So easy, isn't it, just to fall into the trap of speaking just so that folk hear, or saying the right words. I'm thankful that Jonah, he knew this from the very commencement of his prayer. This was to God, and God heard him. This is communication with God himself. It was a prayer of faith, but it was a prayer of expectation. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, "Thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." He expected the Lord to answer this prayer. When I pray, do I expect God to answer? Maybe I expect God to answer the way I want him to answer. Do I pray with expectation that God hears me, in faith that God hears me, an expectation that he will answer that prayer according to his will, according to his word, and according to his own timing? He prayed to the right person at the right time. Notice the response in verse number 10. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. The grace of God. This man was going in the absolute opposite direction, and God just brought him back again. And in between, God caused him to seek the Lord, and he did so. But the result, Jonah, we find in chapter 3, now typically on the ground of resurrection, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes, and it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Arise." He had another opportunity. Maybe God is speaking to us just today. There's another opportunity. He's drawing us out by circumstances, even though we've been disobedient and we're moving away from the Lord. He's using circumstances. He has us today at the conference under the sound of his word, as we've been hearing already, that we might have our hearts drawn out to him in response of love. Here, that we might communicate with God. And as he draws out our hearts, he tells us there's another opportunity. His mind hasn't changed for us. His mind never changed for Jonah. Still the same word. Go back and preach to them. I'm very thankful that Jonah, the result of this prayer, he took the opportunity and he was obedient. Will I take the opportunity that God is giving me? Will I be obedient to what God is asking from me in this conference? Or will I go away from this conference and miss the lesson of Jonah in his prayer to God? Notice the prayer of the king in verse 6 of chapter 3. The prayer of the king. We see there the reason for that prayer. The reason for the king praying was the preaching of Jonah, his declaration. You know, brothers and sisters, we never know when something that we say might be used of God to cause another to pray. And that's a good thing. Just to be in a position to be useful to the Lord, it requires obedience, as we have seen with Jonah. Just to be obedient to the leading of God, obedient to the word of God, that we might be in the right place at the right time to say the right word, and it causes a man or a woman to go away and pray. And look at the effect of this prayer. This prayer was of the king himself, and he made a decree in the whole city of Nineveh, that great wicked city. The result of this prayer was that the whole city was saved. The response of this prayer was that God listened, brought deliverance to them. The greatest enemy of the people of God, God was prepared to save them. Because of the preaching of this man and the prayer of the king and the inhabitants of the city. I notice a lesson from this prayer. The king said, follow me in this little prayer. Is that what the king said? No. He said, cry mightily unto God. You see, brothers and sisters, I don't subscribe to the sinner's prayer. That's, you pray this after me and then you're saved. No way. You cry mightily to God. There is no prescribed prayer. In my meditations of this, I was thinking of the book of prayers. You know, you get in some congregations the book of prayers, and you stand up and you read one of the prayers and you sit down again. No. It comes from the very heart. Just cry mightily to God. Let us go away from this conference, and as a result of the word of God being open, let us get back into communication with God. Let us get back down on our knees. How often our prayer life goes out the window and the phone gets taken up and the email and Facebook and everything else, and our prayer life just disintegrates. Well, it would be a good thing if I just got back to crying mightily to God. My prayer life was revitalized, revived. The prayer of the king, the response, and the result, he delivered that city. But I noticed the prayer of Jonah. It was a prayer of displeasure, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, chapter 4, and he was very angry. And he prayed. What a condition to pray in. Do you pray because you're angry? Let me ask myself, how exactly do I pray? Have great arguments with my wife all the day long, and then we get down at the end of the day and pray together? No, that shouldn't be. Treat people in a bad attitude all the day long and then get down at the end and pray. A bad testimony at work. Oh, but I better give thanks for the lunch. What spirit do I pray in? Here, Jonah, he was angry and he prayed. That was going to be wrong from the start, wasn't it? And I noticed that his request, it was wrong. He said the right words. You know, I can say the right words with the wrong attitude.
He said true things about God. Thou art gracious, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repentest of the evil. I can have the right words in my prayer, but the wrong attitude. All that we would get back just to true, real prayer with the right attitude. But I notice the result of this prayer, the response of this prayer. The Lord spoke to Jonah. He says in verse 9, "Doest thou well to be angry?" He said that in verse number 4, "Doest thou well to be angry?" Is it a good thing to be angry and pray? The result of this prayer was that Jonah is left upon the page of Scripture as an angry man. What a tragic thing, brothers and sisters, that a man so mightily used of God is left upon the page of sacred Scripture as an angry man. I notice the last response, the last result, rather, from this prayer is in the last verse, or the last two verses. God has the last word, and this book finishes with a question. You know, sometimes when I pray, it's as almost as though I am going to have the last word with God. I'm going to tell God the way it's going to be. "No," says God, "Jonah, you will not be left with the last word upon the page of this book. I will speak and close the book." A sad way for this man to move off the page of Scripture in the book of Jonah. So we see those four prayers, and I trust we can learn something from them. A prayer as the result of distress. A prayer as the result of disobedience. A prayer as the result of a declaration by Jonah. And a prayer as the result of displeasure.